This morning's scripture will come from Matthew chapter 8, verses 15 through 17. If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector.
Thank you, Eric, for that scripture reading. It's again a powerful reminder of how holiness in the community is so important. About accountability in the community. Like I said, it's the same scripture we looked at last week. There was a difference in the text. Something was different about it, at least on the screen. On the screen, there were some words there that Eric's version didn't have in it. Maybe they were even both NIV. What was different there? Last week, it was just like Eric read, if your brother and sister sins, go and point out their fault. But today on the screen, it said, if your brother or sister sins against you, go and point out their fault. Just between the two of you. Some versions have against you and some don't. If you have a King James, it'll say against thee. A lot of them still have it in there. The way, when I think about this text, in my head, I say against you. I think about it, okay, if it's someone sinning against you. So what's up? Why do some have it and some don't? Well, the newer versions, if you're looking at your app, if you have a newer NIV, it's gonna have the against you removed. It won't be in there. And the reason is because the oldest manuscripts, the oldest copies of Matthew, don't say against you in there. Some of the newer ones, I mean, we're still talking really old texts, but some of those newer ones have it in there. So what does that tell you? It tells you at some point, someone added against you in there. Probably some monk in the Byzantine Empire who was copying texts and he thought, against you, maybe in his head it just came in and he put it down. Maybe he was connecting it with some of the teachings later in the text when Peter asks about, you know, how many times do you forgive someone when they sin against you? And so I think it's interesting to take it both. The way Jesus taught it, the against you was not there. It was added somewhere. But it's interesting, for so long as part of church tradition and church teaching, the against you's been in there. And it does change it. It does change it, right? The way Jesus taught is it's all about holding the whole church to a high standard and the maintaining purity of community, and it really fits with a lot of other teachings. 1 Corinthians 5, Galatians 6, 1, it talks about holding everyone holding each other accountable for sin. But when it's against you, it narrows it down a little bit. It makes it a little bit more, it's not everybody. It's only addressing sin if it's dealing with something that immediately impacts me. And maybe in some ways that could be good because it's making it where we're not just like sin police and trying to nitpick everybody. It's only going to be those within my little circle. But still, that's not the way Jesus said it. This is something that was added, and we're actually going to entertain it a little bit. Because it changes the teaching and it makes it a little bit more about interpersonal conflict between two people and how to deal with that. And so I think it is, while it may not be the original intent, there's something important we can learn there. And it's really, if you think about it, a pretty simple teaching that is actually really difficult. And the simple teaching is, when you have an issue with your brother or sister in Christ, you should talk to them about it. You should say something. And sometimes we don't do that. And I really, as I was thinking about this text, if we could learn to effectively communicate and effectively listen, it feels like there would just be world peace, right? If we could just hear what we need to hear, but also say what we need to say, that would improve our communities. That would improve our relationships. Something so simple, yet really kind of difficult. When I was a very young dad who didn't know what I was doing, I had a sweet little baby daughter, and just a few months old. And we ended up having to go to the ER. I say having to go. We really, in hindsight, we did not need to go to the ER. We had a doctor tell us that, hey, if I won't get into the details, but if this doesn't happen by this time, you need to go to the ER. And so we had a sweet little baby girl who seemed totally fine, but we're like, we're going to do what the doctor said, so we're going to take her to the ER. And so we go to the ER, and we're there all day, and we go and finally see the ER doctor after waiting for hours, and the ER doctor says, hey, that's a really cute baby. There's nothing wrong. See you later. That'll be $1,000. You know? But my experience in the ER is something that I won't forget. We came in there, it was a Saturday, and it was one of those Saturdays where there's a lot of great college football games on. And I'm the only guy in the, we are it. We're the only ones in the waiting room. And I'm like, all right, there's a couple games on. I'm going to be that guy. I take the remote, and I'm switching back and forth between two games. And I'm the only one there, so, you know, no big deal. But then as the evening progresses, and we're there forever, all these people come in, and I admit it's obnoxious, but I'm still switching the channels back and forth, watching these two games, and being friendly and making friends, and I'm standing up and holding my little baby girl, and at one point, I'm changing the channel, switching back to the other game, and I hear someone from the back say, "Is something wrong with the TV?" And I'm like, oh, it's happening. And I turn around and look, and it's a police officer. And one of the staff. So, like, there's a problem. And then this dude stands up, and he says, this man has been changing the channel back and forth, and I want to watch this game. And I was like, whoa. Super embarrassed. I got the cops called on me. And so I look at the man and I just say, well, sir, you should have just told me. I'm happy to leave it on whatever. We didn't need all this. And there was actually another nice person in the waiting room who said, hey, man, he's been here like all day doing this way before you got here, which was nice of him to stand up for me in that way. But I was just like, I want this scene to be over now. Actually, my daughter's fine. Peace out. I don't want to be here anymore. That's what I wanted to do. Very uncomfortable. And so ultimately, I just said, like, dude, we'll put it on whatever you want. And I looked at the cop. My wife was mad at me for this one. I looked at the cop and I said, officer, are you going to cuff me? And the officer laughed and he was like, and I think he was like, okay, this is silly. I'm out of here. But really, I just looked at the guy. I was like, why didn't you say anything? If you could have said anything, this whole thing would have been prevented. And so one thing I want you to hear is it's really unreasonable to be upset with someone for not meeting your uncommunicated expectation. You can't get mad at someone for not doing something that you didn't tell them to do. I can't, like, get mad at Paxton for not cleaning my bathroom if I didn't say, hey, go do it. It's never been an expectation. It's never been a thing. I can't just get mad at them because I needed to tell them that. You got to set the expectation before you get mad at them for not meeting it. I remember one time we got a high school kids together with some parents, and we were talking about dating. And the guys brought up, hey, girls, you know, you do that thing where you are mad at us and we know something's wrong, but you won't say what it is. And you could just feel the tension in the room rise. And then some of the girls go, oh, we're mad, but you should know. You should know. And they're all like, yeah, and high-fiving and stuff. And maybe they're right. Maybe guys are dumb and we should know. But I remember one of the moms chimed in and said, hey, you know what? Maybe they're dumb and they don't know. You still need to tell them. You need to communicate what the issue was. If they're dumb and not getting it, you need to tell them. It is important to communicate these things. You can't get mad at people for not meeting your uncommunicated expectation. You need to communicate these things, and that will be very good for your relationship. And so I really thought about, though, why would this guy not just say anything to me? I don't think I was, like, scary. I don't think I was intimidating. I wasn't a bald, scary guy back then. I wasn't I didn't have the intimidating physique I have now. But don't laugh at that. I was holding a baby. I had glasses. I was portly. I think there was nothing. And being friendly to people. So it was really strange that he didn't feel as though he could just say, hey, it's kind of annoying that you're changing the channel. Could you quit doing that? And so I really thought about, why wouldn't he? Maybe it's awkward. Maybe that's an awkward thing to have to say and you don't really want to say it. Maybe he thought I would say no. Maybe he thought I would be like, there would be some kind of conflict, that I would be a jerk. He didn't know me, and that's kind of fair. And because he didn't know me, maybe this can I keep giving him the benefit of the doubt. Because he didn't know me, maybe he didn't trust me to respond appropriately. So rather than going to me, he circumnavigated me and went to an authority. I don't think he called the cops. I think maybe he told someone at the hospital, and that's just standard procedure if there's an issue in the ER. But it's really exhausting for authority. And I thought about that with Jesus's teaching here. A lot of times when we see someone sin, we don't go to them. We tell the elders and make them handle it. And that's kind of what you circumnavigate. But, that just becomes exhausting for authority to have to deal with all these things. Sometimes you just need to handle it yourself. And maybe he didn't want to risk confrontation. And I think this is another reason that we don't go to people and say, hey, I have this issue, or hey, this is how you hurt me, is when you do that, you might risk being hurt. You might hear them say, they might think, oh, is that what bothers you? You don't like that? Well, now I know. And now I can use it against you when I want to. Now I know where to poke. I mean, you really are risking something like that with some people. Or you might hear like, oh, really, that bothers you? Well, it shouldn't. You're kind of dumb. Have you thought about not being such a sissy? There are ways that when you bring this up, it could hurt. You take a risk with addressing issues in relationships. Something important to know, though, for conflict-avoidant people, which I am one, is when someone's hurt you, or when there's something you wish they would do differently and you're afraid to communicate it, you don't know how to bring it up, the conflict is still there. It's there. It's just underneath the surface. And the pain's still there. The frustration's still there. It's probably going to come out in passive-aggressive ways. So it's better to just bring it into the light and say what needs to be said. Better to risk doing that instead of just having this underlying thing that's just hurtful. So you can avoid it, but it's there anyway. There's a question that I, in premarital counseling, that Brianna and I did, Saving Your Marriage Before It Starts. I did it, and we sometimes do premarital counseling using it. And there's one question I remember as a young guy on my way to being married, I got the question wrong. And it's one of these it's like the survey questions, and it's about communicating. And I think this is a fun one, so I got it here for you. For the second time this week, you find that your spouse didn't run an errand as promised. Annoyed you, and then it's got these reactions. Now, ladies of Westgate, the men of Westgate are men of our word, and I know this is a hard scenario for you to imagine. So just use your imagination, because I know we always do what we say we're going to do. But do you tell them how much it irritates you, and then just go and do it yourself? Do you pout a bit and ask them to do it tomorrow? Or do you, this is the passive aggressive one, do you forget to do something for them next time they ask? And I remember, like, I didn't really like any of these responses a whole lot, but I remember I thought, well, I guess I choose B. But B's still not the right answer. Because pouting, that leaves your spouse guessing. They don't know why you're pouting. Because you haven't communicated what's going on. And so their head's going all over the place. What is it? Was it something at work? Is it something with the kids? Is it something I did? What did I do? Was it about the other night? And they're guessing, and you don't know, and that creates anxiety. And so the right answer, the best option, is actually A. Yeah, and I didn't put it because it's like, oh, I can't tell them how much it irritates me. That might cause a fight. That's bad. No, some conflict is important. The conflict's already there. You need to communicate it. Don't leave your spouse guessing. Tell them what's going on, and maybe it'll be a heated moment, but now you both know. Now the standard has been set. So that is healthy communication. Sometimes it feels conflictual, but it needs to be said. And that was a lesson I really needed to learn and sometimes still struggle with. Like I said, I mentioned hearing some feedback that might be hard for me to hear this week. And one thing that I really like, and I said I felt closer to the people who said these things. I like that they trusted me enough. They trusted me to be able to handle what they said. They trusted me to handle it and respond in the right way. They believed I would actually listen and not lash out. And that's actually an honor. I like that they did that. I like that they trusted me enough. I like that we were able to successfully navigate this. The guy in the ER who got the police involved, he didn't trust me. And so he didn't communicate well. I was talking to a friend the other day about navigating a painful issue with a family member that hurt her. And we were kind of talking about, okay, well, how do you address this? When do you address it? And one of the questions that always comes up whenever you start talking about addressing something that someone's doing wrong is, will it work? Will it actually change the behavior? And it kind of got me thinking, okay, what makes an action right? What makes the thing I'm doing right? Is it only right if it brings about good results? No, I think so. It's right. Sometimes the right thing is just the right thing, regardless of what happens. The teachings of Jesus that we looked at, he doesn't say, only do it if you know they're going to change. Only bring up the sin if you know it's going to work. No, he leaves open that it may not. It may not. There may be some things you have to do. They may not listen. But you still give them the chance. You still give them the opportunity. They still need to know. Maybe it's even good for your own heart and your own soul. Maybe you just need to speak it, if nothing else. But a lot of times you need to communicate these things, and maybe they won't change, but maybe you planted a seed. Maybe other people are going to communicate those same things. And maybe eventually down the road, even if it didn't work when you said it, maybe down the road they're going to hear it enough that'll bring about some transformation. I know there's been times where I've addressed something with someone and they lash out at me and do all the things we talked about last week, you know, all the defense mechanisms. And then it sat for a while. And they still change their behavior a little bit. So even if you don't get the response you want at first, down the road, I think it's still going to have an impact. It is worth speaking. It is worth saying. And they need to know. You need to give them a chance to learn. Give them a chance to change. And I think another question is, do they already actually know what they're doing and it doesn't matter? Well, they still need to hear it spoken. They still need it. You still need to set the standard and say, hey, this is what's going on and I wish it was different. I think you would be surprised, though, how powerful your words are. I think you might be surprised how much weight you carry and how God can actually shape people. So it's important to say these things, even if you feel like, oh, I don't know if they're going to hear me. I don't know if it's going to work. Give them a chance. Well, one thing I see with Jesus that I love, that can also be really difficult to live, is Jesus believed in people. He believed in people. He believed they could do good. He believed they could do the right thing. Even in this text, part of it, he believed people are capable of change. Address the sin because they are capable. because they can do something about it. So addressing sin means, I believe you can do this differently. Jesus believed Gentiles could be people of great faith. He believed a dirty tax collector could make a great disciple. He believed Samaritans could sacrificially serve. I love that attitude, believing people can be good, believing people can do good things. So speaking up and telling people, hey, this is how this hurt me, or I'm worried about this issue in your life, or I wish this was different between us, requires believing that this person can respond appropriately. It requires having a little bit of faith in them. And we need to give them that chance. And maybe that's another thing you can think of whenever you have, if you ever have these issues addressed with people, as defenses as you want to get, as much as it might hurt, there's a little bit where you need to realize this person values this relationship enough to say this. This person has enough faith in me to address this. So it can be even a little flattering. But we need to be willing to say what we need to say, and that requires having a little bit more of a positive take on people and who they are, like Jesus did. I think Jesus had a good positive take on who people are and who they can be. So as we challenge you with this holy resolution of saying what you need to say, there are a few other ways, you know, not just in addressing, you know, issues with people. I think it's really, I think there's so many times where we're thinking something. Okay, some of us think things and we just say it all. We shouldn't do that. But sometimes there are things that we are thinking that we should probably say that would actually really help a lot. Some self-advocating for our wants and needs is important. I don't want the pendulum to swing. Right now, I feel like the pendulum is swinging so far where it is like, advocate for yourself all the time. You do you all the time. I think that can go too far and be unhealthy. We don't want to just like be selfish and always get our way. But sometimes maybe we do need to speak up a little bit more. Maybe you need to say, hey, I do want a promotion. Hey, I want this career change. There may be some things, I've seen this with a lot of people, that they kind of want this thing to happen. Maybe wish it would happen, but don't really do anything about it. Don't really say anything. Don't really self-advocate. Just kind of hope these changes in your life will just fall in your lap. No, sometimes you need to speak them. You need to act on them. Maybe it's time to get up and speak up and make those things happen. Another way to say what you need to say is, again, I think of marriages, is hey, maybe you need to tell your spouse the nice thing you thought and didn't say. I like when you do this or that. You look pretty in that. Well, you should just know. I don't need to say it. You know, there's things we should speak, say it. And I think men especially, we have a hard time with that. We think these nice things and we just don't speak them. So tell her she looks good. Tell her you appreciate what they did. And hey, it really makes me feel really loved when you did this or that. That is important. And then just another one on saying what you need to say that I've been working on is say the plans that you have. Don't be like, hey, surprise, it's Friday. Get ready. Get ready for what? Say the plans. Communicate those things. It is best to over-communicate. And just while we're at it, I know some of you have shared calendars. I think that's pretty helpful. The shared calendars on your phone, maybe give that a try. I think some of these things can, communicating those things ahead, that really can help reduce the temperature in relationships and in households. So communicate and over-communicate. We have a God who's given us a spirit, not of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. We can say what we need to say. We can say what God wants us to say. We can do it boldly. We can do it powerfully and effectively, but still carefully and lovingly. We can do both of those things at the same time. Maybe God's put on your heart some of the things that you need to say. And I hope you do it. Maybe he's got some things that you need to say that will bless your relationships, bless your family, bless your sanity. I hope you do it. I hope you can believe in people enough to speak to them. And maybe it won't work every time. But know you did the right thing. Know you're doing what God wants. But let's believe in people like Jesus does. If you're here today and you want to give your life to Christ, or if you need prayers of your community, we want to encourage you. We want to pray for you. So if you have any need at all, we invite you to come now as together we stand and sing.